one of the words that keeps coming up in that psalm, you might have noticed it, is the word keep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. This psalm is a tribute to the keeping power of God. God is revealed in this psalm as the one who keeps Israel, verse 4. Keeps, in other words, preserves, protects, watches over. This is a tribute to the Lord's keeping power. Now here the psalmist is reflecting on what he does when he needs help. We don't know what kind of help it is that he needs at this particular time, or perhaps he's recounting numerous times where he's received help. But we do know that sometimes this psalm is referred to as the soldier psalm or the traveling psalm. And perhaps this psalmist is remembering a time when he was delivered from a military threat, or he's facing a military threat, or perhaps he's about to go on traveling. And back then, you can imagine in the desert how dangerous that could be, with dangerous people seeking to steal from those walking past on the very small number of roads. We don't know ultimately what it is, but certainly we do know that it is a tribute to say that our help ultimately is in the Lord. And the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What is very clear from this psalm is the psalmist isn't quavering or shaking. He is a confident, resolute trust in the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, in times of difficulty, when you need help — help is when we need outside influence because we can't help ourselves — who do we turn our thoughts to? What is our immediate response? Do we go straight to God as the psalmist does? Are our eyes fixed on him? Well, I want to encourage you this morning, as we consider this very brief psalm under the title, Our Help Comes from the Lord, under 2 points. The Lord keeps Israel. And secondly, we'll see the extent of that keeping. So first of all, the Lord keeps Israel. And what the psalmist is doing here — remember, this is a word for us, it's not just an ancient text — he's fortifying our souls as we read this. In Wales, I know, boys, you have seen many castles, and you have the foundation set, and then you have the fortress set upon that. And what the psalmist is doing here, all the way through the psalm, is giving us a foundation on which we can fortify our souls. He wants to establish the fact that ultimately and only our help is in the Lord himself. Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. He wants to emphasize that. Verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Verse 5. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Now, this is a very obvious truth, but it's an important truth. And sometimes the obvious truths are the ones that we forget and we don't dwell on. The psalmist wants to make it clear that he doesn't put his trust in anything or anyone else. He doesn't say, my help is in my tribe. At these times, they would have been in tribes. Some were stronger than others. He doesn't say, the armies of Israel are my help, mighty though they may be. No, he says, ultimately, the Lord is my help. It's an obvious point, but it's an important one, and one that we should remember when we need help. It's an important one for us to grasp and remember. Our ultimate help is in the Lord himself. It's not that our help comes from the country that we live in. How thankful we are that we live in a country that has good and safe armed forces. That's not our ultimate help. We may come from a strong family unit. That is not our ultimate help. Mercifully, we're part of a very good church, but that is not our ultimate help. All these things are necessary and welcome, but they are secondary helps. Our primary help is the Lord himself. These secondary helps have their place and are necessary, but our primary help is from the Lord himself. Psalm 20 says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord." Ultimately, it's the Lord himself who is our help. Psalm 124, if you want to, in the afternoon, plunge yourself into the songs of ascent, Psalm 120 to 134, I think, you'll see themes that come up time and time again. And Psalm 124 says, "If it had not been that the Lord was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive." And he goes on to say what I read at the beginning, our help is in the name of the Lord. This is why the psalmist from the very outset declares this triumphantly, "My help comes from the Lord." And so must me. So must we. We must declare, ultimately, that my help comes from the Lord. Well, let's give us further encouragement. The psalmist seeks to further fortify our souls. Who is it that the psalmist puts his trust in? Well, it's the Lord. But there's a clarifying sentence, or a clarifying clause. The Lord, verse 2, who made heaven and earth. It is the Lord who made heaven and earth who keeps Israel, who keeps his church. What an awesome protector the Lord has given himself to be as the protector of his people. Why do I say that? Well, think about the power that was needed to create this world. We can get used to it, can't we? But it was an astonishing demonstration of power, wisdom and skill. Just think about it for a moment, or this afternoon. Think about the sun being made. You know, there are scientists who dedicate their whole life to trying to understand the great power of the sun. Who made it? What about the moon? The stars and the planets? The earth itself being made, the seas being made and all the variety, the mountains being made. And then God fills these things with animals and plants, with all kinds of variety and wisdom and skill. Then there's the seasons. There's day and night. You see, it is this Lord who made the heaven and the earth, in which is our help. Some people can make things out of existing materials, very small things in comparison. But the Lord made the heaven and the earth out of nothing. This is the Lord in which we have our help. It is an unrepeated and unparalleled demonstration of power, of wisdom and of preservation, because he hasn't just set this world in motion and turned his back. He's intimately concerned with it. But how often we take it for granted. We can go children into our houses and just take it for granted. It's there. It's been made by someone in times past. But certainly we can take the creation of the world for granted. But just think for a moment how astonishing that is. And this is the fallen world that we live in. This is not how it was made. Think about how astonishing it would have been before the fall. And so the psalmist is keen to emphasize that it is the Lord, that same Lord who made the heaven and the earth, who is the help of his people. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. But friends, there's more to fortify our soul. Because remarkably, this Lord who created the heaven and the earth is near to his people. Although the Lord is altogether mighty, dwelling in heaven, the Lord is near his people. The psalmist says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hands. He is so near that it is as if he's at your right hand. We know that God is transcendent, far above us, but he is imminent. He is near us. But he's not just near us. There's more that the psalmist wants to fortify the soul with. The psalmist wants to teach us that he keeps his people. He's not only near, but he actively keeps or protects or watches over his people. And the psalmist, as I said at the beginning, is very keen to emphasize this point. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, he shall preserve or keep your soul. You see, the psalmist wants to emphasize the fact that the Lord, though mighty, is near us and he keeps us. The one who has created the heaven and the earth is keeping us. It's not merely that he set the world in motion and has no interest in it now, as some philosophers believe. No. He guards them, and he keeps them, and he protects them. He takes an active interest in them. Psalm 18 records this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to the Lord my God. He heard his voice from his temple. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. You see, although the Lord is on high, he is near his people and he hears their prayers. He keeps them. The Lord is your keeper. But there's more to fortify our soul this morning. It is important to dwell on a bit of language this morning. That possessive pronoun, your. Did you notice in verse 5, for instance, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. This is significant. Because the psalmist is saying that the Lord who made heaven and earth is not just my help, as he begins with in the psalm, verse 2, my help is from the Lord, but that he's also your help. This psalmist, perhaps in difficulty or on the brink of difficulty, is able to testify that God will keep you also. The Lord does not keep a small number of his saints, or even a large number. He keeps them all. The Lord, it says in verse 4, keeps Israel, the whole of Israel, the whole of the true church. And it's true that he is a personal keeper, because the psalmist does say that my help comes from the Lord. And may this fact assure us this morning that the Lord keeps all of Israel. Not one will be overlooked. The Lord has his eye even on the weakest of the saints. And so what we've seen is the psalmist is trying to instill in the people of God a foundation, the reality that God, the Lord, keeps his people. The one who made heaven and earth is not against the people of God, but that he is for them. Yet secondly, and more briefly, we see that he's not only intent in showing the reality of that keeping power, but that he wants to draw on the extent of the Lord's keeping. Now, the psalmist wants to demonstrate, I have to say, largely through imagery. Remember that this is a psalm, it's a song. And so everything can't be pushed to the detail exactly. But he does want to make the point that the extent of the Lord's keeping is a comprehensive keeping, and it is a continual keeping. Not only does the Lord keep a vigilant watch over his people, but he does it forever. The Lord keeps, first of all, a vigilant watch over his people. It says in verse 3, he who he will not allow your foot to be moved, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps you shall neither slumber nor sleep. What is the significance of this phrase? Well, it informs us that God is vigilant in keeping watch over his people. He never drops his watch. I've actually met someone who served in Afghanistan in the Helmand province, and he was telling me that someone in his group of soldiers fell asleep when he was supposed to be keeping watch over the entire guard, I guess you would call it. And he got into serious trouble for it. In the past, he would have been court-martialed for it, killed, executed, because of the significance of falling asleep when he was supposed to be keeping watch. The whole trip was at danger because he fell asleep. But we can be certain that God never drops his guard. He never sleeps. The psalmist wants to push this a little bit further and says, not only does he sleep, he doesn't even slumber. He doesn't even slumber. There's not a hint of weariness in the Lord as he keeps his people. God watches over his people with vigilance and at all times. That's during the day and during the night. Not just during the night, but also during the day. Verse 6 says, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He says in verse 5, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. What is the psalmist saying here? Well, remember, this is a song, and so it's not pushing everything exactly. But generally speaking, I believe that the Lord is saying that he will protect us from all danger, whether day or night. And that's true, because there's plenty of potential dangers in the day and the night, aren't there? But we remember from times past how the Lord went before the people of Israel, both during the day and the night, with that great pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This is what the Lord continues to do. He keeps his people all day, all night. And he preserves us from all evil. Now, the psalmist says in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Well, what can this mean? Does the Lord keep his people from every kind of evil? Well, often the Lord does keep his people from evil. Whether, I think it's Matthew Henry who said, from evil, or through evil, or out of evil. The Lord does that often. However, the Lord's people are not kept from every evil in that sense. The people of God can often find themselves surrounded by evil or by evil men with evil intent. Yet no matter what evil befalls a Christian, one thing that is true that we can say, and the psalmist says it himself, is that he shall preserve your soul. Verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Christians can suffer great evil, but their soul will never be taken. In tragic cases, some of you come from countries that persecute Christians. Their livelihood is taken away in some cases, or even their lives are taken away. That is a great evil. But their souls can never be taken away. They may lose their bodies, but they will not lose their soul. You know that we are both body and soul. And the Lord often looks after both, doesn't he? But most definitely he looks after the souls of his people in the ultimate sense. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. You see, this is the preserving that is absolutely guaranteed by the Lord himself. This is why the people of God can sing in that hymn, "How firm a foundation. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." He goes on to say in the final verse, "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." You see, what certainty we have as the people of God that he will preserve our souls and often our bodies. And what certainty the psalmist says has here. As I come to a close, you'll see the certainty about the keeping power of God. Look how the psalmist writes with such certainty. Verse 3, "He will not allow your foot to be moved." Verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul." You see, there's a certainty that comes with this psalmist. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus." I could also recount the words of Jesus himself in John 10. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." You see, there's a certainty that comes with thinking upon the reality of the protection that comes from God. Finally, there's one more important truth, and that is that God keeps his people until the end. Verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." How true this is. How true this is. We have just seen the burial of our brother John, kept to the end. When God saves someone, he saves someone to the end, even as they enter into heaven with him. John 13 is a lovely sentence, that he loved them to the end. Jesus says that of his disciples. Elsewhere, the psalmist writes in Psalm 125, "Those who trust the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. So what a comfort these truths are. That Israel, that is all of Israel, that is you if you're a Christian this morning, are kept by God, the Lord who made heaven and earth. If you're a Christian this morning, then you can be certain that your soul is completely safe. He shall preserve your soul. May we meditate on this. May we lift our eyes when difficulties come. This is how the psalm starts. Also in Psalm 123, there's this process of lifting our eyes. Verse 1, unto you I lift my eyes. Psalm 123, it says the same, unto you I lift my eyes. How important it is to lift our eyes. As it were, from the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Away from the enemies of God. And look to God for help. Remember, Peter took his eyes off the Lord when he was out of the boat and walking on the water. That's when he began to sink. And the writer to the Hebrews writes, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. If we do this, if we lift our eyes, our fears will be stilled. So look to God. And look ultimately to God. Not secondary helps, good as they are, but look to God, who made heaven and earth. I finish with quoting Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, the Lord of hosts is with us. The psalmist goes on to say, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.